We come here, and Jeff, can you guys hand these out today? And there's enough, I think, for everybody, and especially the young people need to have their own copy and a pen, pencil. I appreciate the older folks in here coming on Sunday night as we go through this series. I hope you keep coming, first of all, because you should. It's encouragement to me and everybody else. And never think that because the topic doesn't seem to apply to you that you won't get anything out of it, because you will. And I would imagine that some are learning things and getting some things out of the Word of God that you wouldn't otherwise think about or realize. Everybody have a copy that wants one. Otherwise, I've got more. If you need a copy, wave at me and I'll get you your copy. All right? You got one? All right. So let's start, and we'll go to Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll end up there at the end. I'm just going to quote Proverbs 31, 29, and 30 for right now. And we'll end up there at the end. But Proverbs chapter 31 is the chapter in this particular topic. We talked about young men. We're talking about ladies. And this one's called Leading Lady. And many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let's pray, and we'll go on. Lord, we thank you for our opportunity tonight to pray and to talk to you and to teach from the Word. Help us to learn. Help each young person, young men and young ladies both, to take seriously. And then the parents and grandparents to take seriously and take note what your word says concerning certain things, and to be better because of it, and that you would use all that's done and said tonight for your honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about it. Throughout the scriptures, we find the stories of courageous and godly women whose influence and character has touched the lives of thousands and shaped the course of history. Adam must have flipped when he first cast a gaze on the girl of his dreams. Woman was God's final crowning touch on creation, which made it at last perfect and complete. Creating the lady was the last thing that he did. In the early days of cinema, the term leading lady was used to describe the actress who played the most prominent role. She was the star that shone above all the rest. God, too, needs leading ladies who will surrender their lives to play a starring role for his glory. And much like we did last week, we're going to compare notes. The lies about ladies. The lie of television. Hollywood drives the thought process and the thinking. And so the lie of television stereotype, all right? Modern TV and cinema usually portray a dim view of womanhood. In the eyes of the media, a godly lady or teen girl can never measure up to the world's standard of success. They make fun of it. They say they're barefoot and pregnant and all this sort of thing. So the Hollywood woman is the beautiful, outwardly beautiful, all right? And yet God's word says in Proverbs chapter 31, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she should be praised. Now, that doesn't mean that we strive for ugly. Certainly we don't strive for ugly, but Hollywood can only emphasize the outward. Hollywood can never emphasize the inward. They don't even know what it's about. Secondly, she's aggressive. Now, this doesn't mean that we think that women are supposed to be wallflowers, but 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, even in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's not what they teach. That's not what they promote. And let me tell you something, that the virtuous woman does not need to be aggressive outwardly to compete with man outwardly to be an influence and to be a strong leader and role model in her way. Number three, career-oriented rather than family-oriented. Career-oriented versus family-oriented. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, I'll ask Caleb to read that for us. And I'll ask Joshua to read 1 Timothy chapter 2, 12 through 15. And I'm going to read chapter 31 and verse 27. Proverbs 31, 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. There are ladies today, there are mothers today that don't even know where their children are from time to time, day to day. They don't look well to the ways. They're not sure if they're dressed. They're not sure what they're doing, where they're going, what they're watching, who they're with. That's one verse. And that is the career-oriented rather than the family-oriented. Titus 2:5 says, First Timothy 2:12 through 15. And then number four, the Hollywood woman, the worldly woman, sexy, loose, and easy. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Verse 5 says, "Her feet go down to hell, to death. Her steps take hold on hell." Number five, and by the way, they never show the result. They never show the end. They never show the end of what happens with the whorish and the loose type of woman. Number five, oppressed by men. They're conveyed to be against men. That's why you see the picture at the top of our paper, the battle. It's like they're in competition with each other, and that's not what God created. 1 Peter chapter 3, we were there just a minute ago. Now we're going to read the next two verses in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and also Genesis chapter 2. The Bible clearly says that God made Eve to be a help meet for him. Out of his side, a rib taken from his side, not a competition or a competitor, but a help meet for him. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." And so we see here that the ladies were not expected to be competitors or contrary. I've read where, I don't know if it's the ESV or the NIV, I think it's the newest one, ESV, actually says contrary back in Genesis chapter 2, but rather a help meet for him. And number six, sometimes more masculine than feminine. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that Satan wants to pervert the differences, confusing men with men, women with women, confusing the whole thing, the whole gender blender, which eventually leads to the homosexual lifestyle and the men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. And you see that today. I mean, the superheroes, I know they call it Wonder Woman, but it's more like Wonder Man, because she's the strongest individual in the movie. I've not watched the movie, and I'm not going to. I just know that's what they push. And so they push that, and it's so unrealistic, it's so silly. I think it's somewhat funny when, I don't think it's really funny, I think it's sick, but I think it's somewhat funny and comical to see this constant push from the liberal side of things when all of a sudden a guy decides he's going to be a girl and play women's sports. And then all of a sudden the women are all mad, you know, because he's dominating, all right? Because he's made different, all right? He's going to be different. There's a couple places, and we'll look at two places. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. You can write that one down. Deuteronomy 22, 5. And then 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. We'll start with Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." He wants us to be different, and we need to learn that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. His desire and his plan was always for us to be distinctly different one from the other. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that a man, that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And so we see God's word in opposition to a lot of what Hollywood drives the thinking. Then we go on, we see a little more, the TV teen girl, all right? And remember, this was written several years ago, probably 15 years ago or more, but it still applies. She looks good, and again, we're not saying that a Christian young lady shouldn't look good, but favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And 1 Samuel 16:7 says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And so just looking good isn't enough. You need to understand and have a much more deeper process of thinking than just what does it look like. Number two, all the guys like her. She's popular and sensual or sexy in actions and attitudes. She's learned that from somebody. She's been taught that maybe through the TV. I didn't know this, but till I was an adult. But there are girl magazines that actually teach girls how to act and flirt with men and young men, and teach them and suggest things and ideas of ways to be sensual and to be flirtatious and things like that. Proverbs chapter number six, and I'm not talking about, you know, hardcore pornography magazines. I'm just talking about, you know, girl magazines that they read and all the junk that's in there. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. I didn't read verse 23 and 24, but it says, the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty, and so forth. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, we read that already earlier, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, of the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. Doesn't mean you can't do that. Obviously, you have to put on apparel. But that shouldn't be that shouldn't be what makes you the most adorned, what makes you the most attractive. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. In other words, you don't have to add more makeup later on, because it never wears old, it never gets wrinkled. It's the inward. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So there's some verses for you there. When you see the popular girl, and so many of the popular, attractive girls enjoy their fame and their fortune for a season. And then when it's gone, it's gone. That's not what you want. That's not what you want in a woman, in a wife. That's not what you want to be as a woman. Number three, few restrictions from authority. Few restrictions from authority, very similar to last week. I'll start with Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. And Proverbs 6, verse 20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. And hopefully you have a mother and a father with some restrictions, with some laws, with some authority and some guidelines for you to follow. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, again, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. God gave you your parents, and so if you go against your parents and the wisdom of your parents, you're going against God. And then Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so this young lady needs to be very submissive and obedient to her parents. And if a young lady is not submissive, respectful, obedient of her parents and the authority God's given her, watch out if you think that you're going to marry that and not have it the same way for you later on. And then number four, she manipulates. She manipulates. She manipulates her parents. She manipulates her teachers. She manipulates her peers, and especially boys. All right? Proverbs chapter 6 again, verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Sometimes a young lady or an older lady can be such a gossip, and they know exactly the wrong things to stir up trouble, and they just plant the seeds of doubt and contention with sowing discord. Verse 26, Proverbs 6:26, by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. For the adulteress will hunt for the precious life, manipulating. And so many men have been destroyed by a woman. Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7, and verse 21-23, Delilah destroyed a very strong man. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Listen, I don't want a wife that manipulates. I don't want a wife that manipulates me. And therefore, if I saw a wife that was manipulating her parents and was able to get her way with her parents, I don't want that, because I knew if she's going to do it with them, she's already learned a bad habit, she's going to try it with me. If she can manipulate teachers, manipulate her peers, manipulate other boys, and on, it can go. Proverbs chapter number 28 and verse 13. I think we read this one last week too, Proverbs 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. She's sneaky. And she knows how to cover, and now how to put on a fake, a front, a false show, a false front. And then Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 through 14, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. It's important that you would ask a young lady's pastor what he thinks of her, and what he would say about her. And you would ask her pastor. And you say, well, she doesn't have a pastor. Well, ding, 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 there's a red flag. And you ask him, and he says, boy, I don't know. Well, I remember hearing years ago of a pastor named Jonathan Edwards that lived in the 1700s and preached in New England. Back in the 1700s, and someone asked him for his daughter, permission to marry his daughter, or to court his daughter. And the pastor, John Edwards, said, I'm going to tell you something. She has a very bad temper. I don't know that she'd be a good. I mean, he said that about his own daughter. And he told that man that, wow, you know. But I would encourage you to ask her parents, ask her pastor about, you know, how are things, how's the relationship, things like that. And so manipulative. But the world praises that and calls that clever, and because that shows power and strength. And women's lib today is all about being full of power and strength and having the dominance. Remember, television is not a good place to find a role model. The books and the TV, the movies, these images are unrealistic and exaggerated if you're filling in the blanks. They're unrealistic and exaggerated. The lie of worldly values, letter B under our outline. Many teen girls judge themselves and their worth using this false system of values. Just like we talked about last week, they use the worldly ruler system, and they judge themselves, and they try to measure up in a false way. Worldly value number one, beauty. The world says that a girl must be beautiful to be accepted and successful. And so if a girl is not outwardly beautiful and attractive to others, she immediately thinks of herself as inferior, and she is not. There is nothing that says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was beautiful. Does that matter? She probably was. But there's nothing that says she was. In fact, there's nothing in the New Testament that ever really describes the outward appearance of people. Do you know that? Because when you get to the New Testament, you realize that's not what we should be focused on, what we should be thinking about. I've found it to be that when someone is inwardly beautiful, they're outwardly beautiful. They become very attractive outwardly because of their inward beauty. Some are born with natural beauty. Others have to work at it. All right? If the barn needs paint, paint it. But anyway, every young lady should strive to look her Christian best. Again, we are not teaching that ladies and women are supposed to be as homely as they can possibly be. All right? But who are you to call an object of God's creation and love ugly? When I was growing up, one phrase that was used about, she's a dog. It's very derogatory. That's derogatory to God because he made her. And shame that we would even emphasize outward appearance. I mean, honestly, what did we do to get our outward appearance? Nothing. So it's a silly thing. Worldly value number two, sexual attractiveness. The teen girl who attracts a young man on the basis of sex is certain to lose him on the same basis. And too many girls find that out the hard way. If that's how you caught him, it won't be long before somebody else will catch him too. Too few Christian teen girls have the courage to do it God's way. They're tempted and they are so pressured because they've swallowed the lie that that's how you catch him, because that's what the movies say. That's what the movies teach. That's how you catch him. And so you've got to flirt and you've got to be physical and you've got to be a little bit loose. And yet the Bible tells us to pray and wait. Pray and wait. Wait on the Lord. By the way, Proverbs says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. You read the book of Proverbs and you see where men are to find the right kind of wife and to pursue and to find. But you'll never read, whoso findeth a husband findeth a good thing. You say, is that because there aren't any out there? No, it's because the person who wrote Proverbs never intended for the ladies to pursue the man. It's sad when you see ladies pursuing the man. I remember years ago my mother said this, and I really didn't understand it because I was only sixth grade at the time and didn't really know. But she said, boy, nowadays girls ask guys out. And they ask guys for their number, and they pay for the meals. They take the leadership role. That's wrong. You're getting the cart before the horse. You're not trusting the Lord. You want a guy to pursue you. And if you caught him, and if you caught him, and if you're leading the situation, you're going to always be insecure. If you're leading the whole thing. And if you're ahead of the game, it's wrong, it's backwards, it's out of order. And at the time, it seems to be okay and it seems to work, but it will fail. Worldly value number three, status. Wealth and social status are only temporary. Most of the popular kids in high school in 1980 are not popular today. Right? I mean, think back to 1985. Maybe some of you were in high school in 1985. Maybe some of you were in high school in 1975. All right, Delmer, 1935. The popular kids back then. I mean, by 10 years after, it changed. You know, it's so fleeting. It's so temporary. But at the time, it's so important. They can both be lost overnight. Never sacrifice God's favor to gain man's favor. Never trade what God smiles upon because other people are smiling upon it. Worldly value number four, fashion. Let's face it, fashion and clothing are identity with most teenagers. Expensive clothes, designer fashions may be turning everyone's head, but God's. And if you're a wise young man, you're saying, wow, she spent $200 for those shoes? How am I going to afford that wife? Right? Now, I'm not saying you can never buy your wife $200 shoes. I'm just saying that if you've got to keep her in that kind of fashion, you're going to have a really good job. Letter C, the lie of inferiority. Many young men believe two common myths about girls. Number one, myth number one, women are inferior. That's a myth. Women are not inferior to men. Women are not superior to men. Women are not even equal with men. They are different. And if you haven't noticed that, they are. I mean, and we should enjoy that. It should be okay. We should learn to embrace the fact that we are different. God made male and female each with a distinct and different purpose that goes far beyond simple biology. And so when I say different, I'm not just talking about the body. We're just different in a lot of things, and that's a good thing. I want a wife that's different than me. And you do too. It's way beyond biology. So myth number one, that women are inferior, it's a lie. And because Satan has lied to Hollywood and the world, that's why they think they've got to prove that they're okay, they're superior, whatever it might be. Number two, women are the weaker sex. The Bible didn't say that either. Men say that, but the Bible didn't say it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Here's what it says. First, it does not say what I just said to you there, but here's what it does say. 1 Peter 3, 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's not the same thing as to say the weaker sex. Why? All right, well, this is a text for those who are married. A husband is to respect his wife as if she were a piece of fine and precious glassware or china, a very valuable but very fragile type of vessel. But never assume that she is one, that she's just an object. Hey, girls, don't waste time on a guy who looks down on you or tries to manipulate you like one of his toys. And be aware that he needs to treat you with caution and respect and with tender love and care. And yet you are not inferior and you're not superior. You're different. Leadership for ladies. To find the truth about what a young lady really ought to be, there's only one reliable source of information. And that source is the Bible. Number one, salvation. The best leading for any teen girl is to receive Christ as her Savior. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You got to be saved. She needs to be saved. You better make sure there's no doubt in your mind that she's saved girl, if you're an interested guy. And inward beauty, not outward. The woman's outward adornment must never be allowed to mask her inward beauty and spiritual strength. If her most predominant attractiveness is the outward, then she's not spiritual enough. She's not what she ought to be. She ought to be inwardly more attractive than she is outwardly. So if she is a very pretty young lady, the outward should never be more dominant than the inward. The inward should be what you are looking for. Her inner walk with Christ should dominate her personality. Outward adornment should not call attention to you. If you're a lady or a man, outward adornment should not call attention to you. Rather, you should call attention to Christ. And it doesn't matter if you are attractive, as long as inwardly you are even more attractive. That's why it says in our verse here, 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. That shouldn't be the most important outward adorning, the most important adorning. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, the inward, and that which is not corruptible. It can't get old. It can't wrinkle. It can't wear out. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. A lot of young ladies and middle-aged ladies swoon when they see an older couple, fragile, you know, a lot of hair loss, a lot of saggy parts, but they're still just a wonderful, rosy-cheeked couple walking together in the park. And the young girls say, oh, that's what I want to be. Well, then stop focusing on the outward. Because what makes her attractive at age 60 is not going to be the outward. Word study. What is adornment? The word adornment in this verse comes from the Greek word kosmeo. What does that sound like? From which we get our word cosmetic. Its root word is cosmos, which means world. Adornment refers to that which we put on for the world to see. What does the world see in what you wear and how you carry yourself? All right, so truth number one is salvation. Truth number two is inward beauty. Truth number three is influence. Women have a tremendous power of influence. One reason that Satan approached Eve first is that he knew that her power of influence would, she could convince Adam. He came to Eve, and he manipulated and convinced Eve, and knowing that she, and it's true. I mean, my wife influences me. That's why I got to make sure I pick a good one. Just got to make sure I understand why, because our wives influence us. And so the power of influence is so important, Genesis 3. I mean, you can look at other women in the Bible who influenced their husbands, sometimes not for good. Sarah with Abraham, Jezebel with Ahab, and on and on. And then number four, modesty. Never wear anything which could cause a young man to lust after you, and do not expose yourself in a manner which would cause a young man to lust after you. You can either wear something that's either too tight or provocative in that way, causing a young man to lust after you. And of course, the girls, that's what they think is, look, every girl loves it when they're being paid attention to. I mean, it just makes you feel good. But if you've got to sell yourself in order for that attention, you've messed up. And you're causing someone else now to sin. Don't you know what Jesus said? A man that looks at a woman and lusts after you, he's committing adultery with you in his heart. That ought to concern you as a lady. If some guy is committing mental adultery with you. And of course the world applauds that. And at the same time, revealing and not wearing enough and exposing yourself in some way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with good works, but with which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let this woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And so we see here that the woman has a distinct expectation from God. You might not like it, and there might be a lot of people out there that hate what I just said, but it's in the Bible, and I read it to you. Number five, virtue. Virtue. Nothing in a lady exceeds the value of virtue. There's just nothing greater that you can have than virtue as a lady. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? You can find a woman. Most guys, you can find a woman, but who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Virtuous means having moral excellence. Moral excellence. Ethical purity. A collection of abilities which empower one to do good. Virtue. And then, number six, discretion. Discretion. Proverbs 11:22 says this, and it's quite a mental picture. Proverbs 11:22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, as an earring of gold, a nose ring, in a pig's nose, So is a fair woman, pretty woman, which is without discretion. A beautiful young lady who has no discretion is like a golden jewel in a hog's nose. Every girl needs self-discipline and self-control so that she can make the right decisions. We see it every so often. You'll see it. You'll see a nice-looking young lady, and she's with something that crawled in from under the gutter or something. What in the world? She's not no discretion. Something wrong there. Self-discipline, self-control to make good decisions, wise decisions. All right. Legendary ladies. We'll just quickly talk about this. Mary, in Luke chapter 1 through Luke chapter 2, Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're not going to read all that tonight, but Luke's chapters 1 and 2. Mary's moral purity and godly character made her God's choice to bear the Christ child. Had nothing to do with how she looked. The Bible doesn't even say how she looked, because it didn't matter. Does not matter if Mary might have had a blemish or something on the outward appearance. Doesn't matter. I don't think she did. But that wasn't what was important. But her moral purity and godly character. Esther, and you can read the book of Esther, she stood courageously to save her people. These ladies were legendary. They were pure. They were courageous. In Acts chapter 9, there's the story of a lady named Tabitha, or Dorcas. Dorcas was full of good works and alms deeds, so much that people wept and cried and came to Peter and said, please do something, because she was so valuable to them. That God gave her a second opportunity for service in this life before at last finally allowing her to die and go to heaven. But then we have negative leading ladies, Jezebel. 1 Kings 16, 2 Kings 9. How many women do you know named Jezebel? Not very many. Why? Because nobody wants to be a Jezebel. Legends can be both good and bad. Jezebel was the worst. She was a wicked, murderous feminist. She was a wicked, murderous feminist who pulled the political strings of a nation through her weak husband, Ahab. She was, in fact, the spirit of Jezebel is talked about in Revelation. And she was a manipulator. She was everything that Hollywood praises. In fact, when Jehu took vengeance on Ahab, and then he rode the chariot into the city, and he said, who's up there? Remember, it said she tired her hair, and she put on all her makeup, and looked out the window. And he said, whoever's on the Lord's side, throw her down. And they threw her down, and he ran her over with the chariot. But I mean, the story even emphasizes that she tired herself. She made sure she looked good. Jezebel probably was a pretty lady. We think of Jezebel as, you know, with a wart on her nose. I bet she was a very attractive. I mean, how do you get to be that kind of controlling and have that kind of power? But she was probably very sensual, and she was wicked. She talked her husband into helped her husband kill Naboth and pretty much had him murdered. She was just filthy. There's other women that we could talk about. We don't even have it listed here, but the wife of Philip, who was living with Herod, who influenced her daughter to dance before Herod and then to ask for John the Baptist's head. Just that kind of manipulation and influence. As a man, I don't ever want to have a female control me like that. To have her ring in my nose, pulling me around. She's legendary for all the wrong things. And then another good one, Ruth. Ruth left her childhood home in Moab to live with the people of God. She allowed God to give her the man of her dreams in Boaz. And of course, she became a great-grandmother to David the king, and then Jesus later on. Now, lessons for ladies. And now we're going to turn to the greatest passage in the Bible concerning ladies, and that's Proverbs 31. In my home when I was growing up, my dad had bought my mom one of these embroideries that he had framed of Proverbs 31 woman. It was all these verses embroidered, and I think she still has it in her house right now. And Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Now, if you're reading your Bible and you're reading Proverbs every month or at least once a year, you're going to read through this. And I used to say this to the girls at Star Academy and to the guys at Star Academy, but to the girls at Star Academy who knew my wife because she went with me to the girls' chapel, I would say, you know how I knew that she was the right one? Love at first sight. No, not really. You know how I knew? I read about her in Proverbs over and over again, so that when I met her, I was, wow, there's a lot of matches here with what I've been reading about. I recognized her to be what Proverbs had described. And the more you get to know what the Proverbs woman is like, and not just chapter 31, but chapter 31 kind of capsulizes and capstones everything. So Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Letter A, she is honest and trustworthy. Don't let her get away if you're filling in the blanks. Here's the ultimate catalog of feminine Christian virtues which raise a lady's worth far above any earthly scale. This girl has it all. Guys, if you find this girl, don't let her get away. People wonder, how in the world did you get Miss Wilma to marry you? Well, I just told her she had to. She had no choice. Threatened her. No, just kidding. She is honest and trustworthy. She has one weakness. She doesn't have a lot of discernment. So she married me, and that's just the way it goes. So anyhow, no. She is honest and trustworthy. You can trust her as a husband. The heart of her husband does safely trust. Now, I think she's trustworthy to a fault. I was teasing her. I think that Mrs. Slagle is a lot like this because I think I've seen Mr. Slagle tease Mrs. Slagle. But Miss Wilma will go to Rapid City. She'll look at this coat that's on sale for 30%. And she'll look at it. She'll try it on. And then she'll go home. And then she'll go back to Rapid City. And she'll look. And now it's on sale for 35%. And she'll look at it. She'll try it on. And she'll go home. And then she'll go back to Rapid City. And she'll look. And it's now on sale for 40%. And she spent already $30 in gas going back and forth. But finally she buys it when it's on sale for 50%. And it's disgusting, Delmer, because I want to buy a tool, but I won't wait till it's 40% off. And she'll preach at me for not being frugal. However, I know if we're not getting our bills paid or our credit card statement is a little larger than it should be, it's usually not because Miss Wilma was spending too much. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. I was talking to Mr. Dave. He's not here tonight, but we were talking about coal mining years ago. I told him, he said, I'm going to get a job at the coal mine and pay off some debts. Great. I said, Dave, I know you're not going to have this problem because I know who you're married to, but a lot of guys, they have to work at the coal mines because of what their wives have bought. They've got to keep working for that $40 a week or $40 an hour. They've got to because they got to keep up with what she's spending. And you can't live happily with someone you can't trust. You've got to have some trust, some honest and trustworthy. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is loyal and committed. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I think I can say this without any hesitation. There's no lower thing that could happen than for my wife to stab me in the back. And I grieve for the man who has something like that. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's not lazy, but industrious and finds satisfaction in hard work. She's industrious. Verse 14, she's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She's thrifty and wise. I knew that I was in good hands in the first year and a half of our marriage when we moved into Wyoming, and I went from a regular paying job that was fairly good for just a young couple and moved into Newcastle, and we just were living in the basement of a church building, and I was working at a junkyard, and we had macaroni. Someone had given us a great big bulk box of macaroni. No cheese, but we had macaroni. And my wife figured out how to make different meals out of that macaroni every night. And after that, I realized, man, did I make a good choice when I asked this lady to take care of me. Because I would have just, you know, we were suffering. I thought we were suffering. But she just figured out how to make macaroni taste good in a lot of different ways. I'm just being silly, but thrifty and wise, okay? And then verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. She is self-disciplined. Typically, when the children were young and they needed something in the middle of the night, their mother got up and took care of them, and I heard about it the next morning. Didn't even know that was going on. Didn't even, you know, never heard about it. All right? Yeah, did you? She'll say to me in the next morning, so did you sleep like, oh, I slept great. And she'll just kind of look at me and say, you didn't hear any of that? No, I didn't hear. What happened? Oh, so-and-so threw up all over the hallway. Really? Didn't have a clue, you know? And self-discipline. Verse 15 also, she can cook. Amen to that. And then verse 16, she has foresight and is a good business manager. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. And with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Now, by the way, does this sound like a wallflower? No. The Bible's encouraging a woman to think and to be enterprising and to be industrious. All right? Anybody who says that the Bible makes women to be just barefoot and pregnant, you show them this chapter right here. All right? She considereth a field and buyeth it. There's a great woman in the Bible, in the book of Judges, named Oxah. Oxah it says that she moved her husband, Othniel, to ask her father, Caleb, for a certain field. She was aggressive in that way, not the wrong way, but she was a go-getter. There's nothing wrong with an aggressive go-getter for a wife, as long as one thing, you're more. Okay? As long as you are up to the task, because you've got to be the leader as the man. All right? She has foresight and is a good business manager. That's great. What a blessing. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She takes care of herself physically. She's not a wallflower. She's able to physically handle herself and to stay physically fit. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She has a sense of self-respect. She knows that what she's making is good stuff. Verse 18 also, she's conscientious and uses her time wisely. Her candle goeth not out by night. She has no idea what the latest episode of Who Whatever Done It, but she's taking care of business and she's industrious. Also, verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She's skilled with her hands and she can sew. She can sew. Yeah, a couple weeks ago we were talking, some of us were talking about stuff and about gifts that we bought. I think the first major purchase I bought for Miss Wilma was a sewing machine. Not very romantic, but practical, very practical, you know. I'm thinking to myself, I've already decided you're the woman for me. So there's no sense beating around the bush. What are roses going to do? They're just going to drop away and fall off and get her a sewing machine, man, a singer, you know. Now, I did get her roses, too, but she was skilled, and she could take care of things. And it's been a huge blessing to have that as well. She, verse 20, stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's compassionate and self-sacrificing. Yes, sir.
Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's concerned for the needs of her household. She takes care of them. She accepts responsibility and plans ahead. She's not afraid of what's coming. The winter's not going to get her family. She's planned ahead. She's like that wise ant that stores in harvest time. The Proverbs talks about, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's careful about her personal appearance. And she wears things that she makes for herself once in a while. Nothing wrong with that. By the way, if you can't sew, that doesn't mean you're not a godly lady. All right. 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She is supportive, and she makes him what he is. Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She's thrifty again, ambitious, and uses her talents wisely. And then verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Her dominant features are strength of character and personal honor. And then verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She has control of her tongue. And her speech is characterized by wisdom and kindness. A lot of ladies think that they're pretty cool and pretty proud of how mouthy and ungodly their mouth is. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not lazy or idle and does not shirk her responsibilities. She's taken care of home business takes care of her responsibilities. 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. She is respected and appreciated by her family, and she would make a very good mother for children if the Lord would bless her with children. In verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. She stands out when compared to other women. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. She has inward beauty. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And then verse 31, she commands the respect and admiration of others. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. No woman is absolutely perfect, and yet there are ladies out there who, if they're godly and if they're following the Word of God and reading God's Word, they recognize what God values. If I was a young lady, and never have been, but if I was a young lady and I read that, I would say, that's what I need to be. I need to be more like that. I need to learn to be like that. I need to learn to be a blessing for my husband. And it won't be long. And Sam, Gunner, Josh, Caleb, there's a lot of things that the world says is important. There's a lot of things that the world says is valuable. Don't fall for that stupid lie. There's value. But I hope as you read the Bible, you find out what the real value is, what really matters, what really is going to take care of you for the next 50 years of your life, and who's and what kind of needs you'll have, and what God wants you to have as a young lady, as a wife, and the young ladies, the same thing, to be that type of a godly young lady. And so there's the standard, there's the guideline right there. So tonight I'm going to ask the young people to stay, and we're going to go through the questions and answers. Someone said that Proverbs 31 could be called the Proverbs 30 wonderful chapter, or the Proverbs 30 wonderful girl. Are you a Proverbs 30 wonderful girl? Are you a Proverbs 30 wonderful girl? And I would hope that young people know when you say, so is she a Proverbs 31 girl, that you would say, oh, I know what you mean by that. Yes, she is. Or yes, I want to be that. All right, we'll stop there tonight. We'll pray, And I'll visit with the young people and we'll go over some of those questions today.